Chad Ford of ESPN with us back here in Salt Lake City on the Bill and O.C. Show. Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. Sorry to hear about the snow on the flip end. I have an 11-year-old daughter who's never seen snow and thinks it is the most magical, incredible thing in the world. So she wishes she was in your place right now.
Well, Chad, if she ever feels like coming out, or you feel like coming out this way and shoveling snow, I got tons of it in my driveway and tons in my walkway. It'll be a great experience for you guys. So come on out anytime. I'll host you.
Chad, I don't understand with why you wouldn't come to Salt Lake City and go a little snowboarding or skiing sometime. Bring the kids out for a little break and let them experience this stuff.
There's a reason that I live in Hawaii, and it's to avoid all of that stuff. I come visit Utah in the summer.
It's a good time to be here in the summer, no doubt about it, too. What have you made of, I haven't seen any, at least recently, any big boards or mock-ups coming out of your camp yet. I'm sure those will begin to start rolling on a pretty regular basis, but let's start with a guy here in the state of Utah that chose to come back. Would have been a pick last year. We talked to you about him last year. That's Jakob Poeltl. Came back. He's having a really nice sophomore year for Larry Krystkowiak. As you've watched him play this year, what's jumping out about you about Poeltl's decision to come back for another year?
I think it was a really good one. The biggest complaint that NBA scouts had against him as a freshman was that he lacked really strength and toughness. And while I still think that they would say today that he needs to continue to improve his strength and continue to improve his toughness, it's a definite improvement. His body's better. His ability to handle physicality in the paint is better. And his resilience is better. Like that Cal game that he played the other day where he was getting beat up in the first half and struggling a little bit with the physicality to come back in the second half and put up a big game for Utah. I think that's something different that you're seeing in Poeltl this year. I think he's going to go somewhere in the 5 to 10 range in the draft. And that's an improvement over what his draft stock would have been had he declared last year.
As you look at Jakob's game, what things do you see him doing now or not doing now that you'd like to see him do going forward for the remainder of his sophomore year?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be continuing to have strength and continuing to have be able to handle physicality. That's only going to get harder when you get to the NBA level. You're going to have guys that are men banging against you every night, and you see him still struggling with that at times. So again, like I said, it's not nearly to the extent that it was last year, but from a skill standpoint, Poeltl is an incredibly skilled big man. I think he's the best center prospect in the NBA this year for the draft. And I think that because he's skilled, he's going to be very high in the draft. Teams are going away from just the low post bruisers that they had in the past, and they want guys that are skilled. And I think Poeltl's ability to pass the ball, to catch the ball while moving, all of that to me suggests that he's going to be a really good NBA player.
You'd like to think that people would look around that are freshmen now and things like that, and look at a guy like Jakob Poeltl and say, hey, wait a minute, he improved, he came back a year, but that doesn't always seem to happen. Chad, I said Jakob coming back for this year helps himself not only for his initial contract, but having another year of more one-on-one work with former NBA guy like Larry Krystkowiak and things like that. That could help him develop skills. It might pay dividends 3 and 4 years down the road as he gets ready for another contract because, you know this, once you get in the NBA, your development depends a lot on you and the work ethic that you've learned and how you've been coached. And if you haven't gotten it, you may not work as hard as you need to.
I think that's exactly right, and I think it was a very mature decision on his part. I think it could have went either way. I think he would have been a late lottery pick to mid-first-round pick, and for a lot of guys, that's good enough. But I think his decision came back meant that he was serious about becoming the best player that he could become and wanted that year of development. But look, it doesn't work for everybody. Chris Dunn came back. I think it's worked for him. But a guy like Malik Pope comes back and doesn't really improve in any area of his game and, in fact, regresses in certain areas and has watched his draft stock just plummet. And so, it's a risk either way. And so much of it is on what sort of work you're going to be able to put in over the summer on your game. And I think one thing that we all know about Poeltl is that he put in a lot of work in the summer on his body, on his game, and it's shown.
Now, Chad, I'm going to ask you about Ben Simmons, the talented freshman over at LSU there, a guy that's kind of carrying a team that's not great, may not make the tournament. He's the best draft prospect you've seen since, go ahead and fill in the blank.
That's tough because Karl-Anthony Towns is last year, and I think he is going to be an absolute stud in the NBA. And so since Karl-Anthony Towns is probably what I'd say, but he's in that pantheon with a lot of other guys that include Anthony Davis, for example. And the thing about Simmons that really stands out is he's got a combination of unique size, athletic ability, and skill set for his position. And on the other side, this professionalism, this demeanor, this work ethic, this personality that to me has star written all over. You talk about players that have the it and what that it factor is. And Simmons to me is the only guy in this draft that screams this it. And he's going to be unique. You know, we try Magic Johnson, we try LeBron James, and people freak out because they think we're talking about Magic Johnson at the height of his career or LeBron at the height of his career instead of comparing him to the players at that same age with their weaknesses. But Simmons has that upside. He has that ability. And to me, the thing that's so special about him is just how he sees the game. There are very, very few players. I think the hardest thing in the NBA to teach, the hardest basketball skill, is to pass the ball, is to be an incredible passer, to see plays develop before they happen, and to make the right decision again and again and again. And Simmons has that knack. I think he has a better feel for the game than 90% of the point guards in the NBA right now, and he's 6'10", 240.
Would Simmons have been better served going to a different collegiate program, or is his talent immense enough that it really doesn't matter?
You know, I worried because I don't think Johnny Jones is the greatest coach in the world.
Exactly.
That's played itself out. But what I was worried was that they would try to use him because they needed his size as a traditional five or a four, and they haven't done that. And so the one thing that I would say that was really important for Ben Simmons is that whoever coached him allowed him to play his game, allowed him to handle the ball, to make passes, to be a distributor. And Johnny Jones has done that. And I think that a lot of the criticism that can go to LSU is that he's been surrounded by a lot of guys that haven't made shots. Ben Simmons has made the right passes, and guys haven't finished the shots that he set up for them. And I think the good thing about that is it's forced him to be a little bit more aggressive. I think if you watch Simmons the last little bit, he's been out looking for a shot more than he was earlier in the season. He's naturally going to be a facilitator, naturally going to look to try to set other guys up. I think this situation has forced him to look to score as well, and I think that's important for his development.
As we look around the country, who are some of the guys that are maybe under the radar that other people maybe not won't know about? They're going to make a name for themselves as we get closer to draft time.
You know, this isn't the strongest draft in the world. Simmons, to me, is a franchise-changing prospect. And the only two other guys that I think fall in that category are Brandon Ingram out of Duke. And if you haven't seen him yet, he's 6'10", 7'3", wingspan, wiry, strong, can really stroke the basketball. And I don't know that the Kevin Durant comp is quite right, but maybe a Paul George type of comp for him is the right thing. He actually shoots the ball better than Paul George did coming out. But athletic, wiry, you just love 6'10 guys with that length that can shoot the basketball. Then there's a guy over in Israel. He's actually Croatian, Dragan Bender, who I think many scouts think that we might have a second Porzingis on our hands with him. 7'1", incredibly skilled, athletic, has handled the transition from Croatia to Israel well. Speaks great English, which I think is always important in the transition to the next level. And I think many people see him as another prize. I think those are the three prizes in this draft. Simmons is getting all of the, all of the hype, but Ingram and Bender are really good prospects as well. And then I think it starts to drop off pretty dramatically. And that's because this freshman class, which is always the backbone of every draft, just isn't as talented as it's been the last couple of years, and certainly not as talented as the one coming up, which may be one of the best ever.
I've seen three of your top 10, Jay, at least on the last big board I saw of yours in person doing the Utah play-by-play. Obviously, I see Jakob every night, but saw Brandon Ingram at Madison Square Garden. You could see a world of potential there, and it was only a month and a half into the season. The other guy that I've seen in person that he didn't impress me at all was Jaylen Brown. Clearly, he's a physical specimen. He does not look like an 18-year-old kid, but His game was very raw. He didn't have necessarily a great game against Utah, and I don't think he even compares as well as even like a guy like a Stanley Johnson, who I saw last year for Arizona, who took over some games that I saw. Ivan Rabb had a great game the night that Utah played against Cal. He's got to obviously put some weight on. Could you see Rabb shooting up and maybe Jaylen Brown dropping down a little bit? What do you make of those two guys right now?
Well, I think that Jaylen Brown's been kind of paired with Stanley Johnson. They look very similar physically. Brown's a better athlete than Stanley Johnson, which is why a more explosive athlete, which is why I think scouts were so excited about him. But until he starts to hit jump shots, until he's able to create his own shot off the dribble, he's going to struggle. And I think you see that at Cal. He doesn't really know how to create his own shot. And that's been a problem for him at Cal. And, you know, Rab's really interesting because a couple of years ago, Rab was right there behind Simmons on high school recruiting rankings as the number two or number three prospect, like high school junior in the country. And then he struggled a bit as a senior and really struggled over the summer and spring when you go into like the McDonald's All-American Games and Nike Hoop Summit. And I think scouts got off on him. Now he's coming, and I think he's been terrific for Cal. And just as you said, he needs to add strength. But this is the sort of prototypical big man that NBA teams like now, a four that can stretch the floor, that's athletic, that can protect the rim, but still score. He needs to improve the range on his jump shot because teams more and more want fours that can stretch all the way out past the three-point line. But I think he actually has that potential, and I think he's number 11 or 12 on our big board right now, and I absolutely think he has the ability to move up a few spots. Brown, it's tough to say how far he will fall or what have you, because he has all the physical tools that teams really covet, and I think they're hoping that the skill part comes.
Chad, you've mentioned five players so far, not a single one is from Kentucky. Where are all the Wildcats?
Yeah, I'm blown away too. I mean, normally when we talk about the draft, half of the discussion is about Kentucky players, and we thought Skal Labissiere was going to be a big time prospect after he played so well at the Nike Hoop Summit, and he's been awful. I don't think there's any other way to frame it. He's been soft. He struggled to score in the paint. And I think his game is on the perimeter, but Calipari's been trying to force him, much like he did Karl Anthony Towns, to become a low post player. I think Cal is thinking right about that and how to develop the young man and frankly what Kentucky needed this year. But I don't think he's taken to it like Karl Anthony Towns took to it. I don't think he has the toughness. I don't think he has the strength or the body frame like Towns did to be able to figure that part of his game out. And one of two things is going to happen. He's going to continue to flounder, or Kentucky's going to start playing him as a stretch four and allow him to start shooting the ball and playing on the perimeter, where I think he's much more comfortable. And if that's the case, then I think you'll see what scouts saw in him. You'll be intrigued. And then Jamal Murray is really the only other guy that we can talk about. And I like Jamal Murray a lot, and I think he's one of the best scorers in college basketball, one of the best guards. But he's not an elite athlete. And while teams thought of him as a point guard early on, he hasn't fared too well when Tyler Ulis has been out of the game and he's been forced to handle point guard duties for Kentucky. And I think both of those things lower his stock a bit as well.
I know it's way, way too early, but last thing, Chad, you know what? You follow the Utah Jazz a little bit, and obviously it's been an injury-riddled season for them this year. As you look ahead, assuming that the Dante Exum rehab goes well on the knee, what would you project as a need position in the draft? We're going to assume the Jazz are maybe just outside the lottery this year looking in. Hopefully they'll grab a 7 or 8 seed in the West, but what would you see as a projection and maybe a couple of names that might fall where the Jazz might be?
Well, I think the interesting thing about the Jazz is, I mean, look, they're in the 8th seed, the 8th or 7th right now, one of those two seeds in the playoffs, and they're playing without Derek Favors, they're playing without Dante Exum, Alec Burks has been down and been injured as well. That's pretty amazing, the talent level that's there. And I really think one thing that you can say uniquely about the Jazz is they have a young player at every position that they really like. At every position on the floor, there's someone I think that they're invested in, that they think is part of their future. And I think there's very few teams in the league that could say that. Usually there's a glaring hole. And so I think that opens up for the Jazz to take the best player available, knowing that he can come in and fit a variety of roles. And I'm not sure whether that's – I think shooting is always something that the Jazz are looking for. But it's going to be a draft where I think the Jazz have so many young players right now. The question is, do you do what they did last year? I mean, I think we're all a little bit surprised. They took Trey Lyles, who was young, and I don't think they planned on playing him as much as they ended up having to play him this year. And he's not really been ready, but he's getting great development this year. Do they go and take a player this time who's more ready, because there's some interesting seniors on the board, like Buddy Hield out of Oklahoma, for example, should be a guy that's going to be right in the range and a scoring guard who can really shoot the basketball, shooting 50% from three and just the dynamic scorer, plays hard and a great kid. I think he fits the Jazz culture. He's just a little bit undersized for his position. Or do they go and try to get another big in there to just help Rudy and coming off the bench? But that's, I think, is a great thing about the Jazz is they don't have to draft for need. They have guys at every position that I think work for them. You just take the guy that you like the best.
When's the next mock or big board come out, Chad?
We had big board yesterday. So okay. 4.0 was yesterday, and we'll have mock. Our next mock draft update will be next week, and then we're going to debut our lottery mock draft machine, if you remember that, where you can play the odds and see what your team gets depending on how the lottery comes out. Jazz won't be in that itineration this time, which is, I think, probably good news for Jazz fans.
Yeah, Jazz fans have played that little game. They've spent enough time at ESPN.com, Chad, playing with that little tool. They're more into the trade machine is what the Jazz fans are into these days, if they're going to play with anything, you know?
Jazz fans should be patient. I really think this is a good team, and I think it's going to get really good. I think once they get healthy, I really think Jazz should stay the course. And I think they have so much potential down the road. I'm not sure that I'd be playing with that trade machine either. I think you may mess things up.
Well, think of you when the snow falls on Thursday, Chad. Mahalo.
All right, take care, guys.